All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to get up here tonight and deliver a message. I pray that you be with me, help me to say the right thing and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, tonight's message is gonna be, what does God think about the Second Amendment? Specifically, do we have a divine right to arm ourselves and implement deadly force if necessary? I know. I got into it and realized that it was a pretty big topic. All righty. It's a diverse subject that's divided our nation. There's lots of folks that think that there shouldn't be any guns at all, and only professionals like police and military should have them. Politically correct organizations have done a pretty good job of making many people's minds up as to that there shouldn't be any guns allowed, and villainizing the gun instead of the crime and the person that's actually done it. And it's kind of scary, some of the legislation that's recently been put up towards limiting our rights for having guns. I won't go into great detail, but House Bill 45 and House Bill 1022 have some pretty tough language in there about what rights we're going to have in the future. So we just can only hope and pray that those don't pass. And just to make sure that everybody knows what the Second Amendment says, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, and here's the deal, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And our Declaration of Independence says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in Missouri, we have the Castle Law, which says that if he or she reasonably believes that such deadly force is necessary to protect himself or herself or another against death, serious physical injury, or any forcible felony, such force is used against a person who unlawfully enters, remains, unlawfully entering or attempts to unlawfully enter a dwelling, residence, or vehicle unlawfully occupied by such person. A person does not have a duty to retreat from a dwelling, residence, or vehicle where the person is not unlawfully entering or unlawfully remaining. So, Missouri gives us the right to be able to defend our home and property against invasion. So that's just kind of a brief of what the law says for our nation, but more importantly is what God has to say about all this. And to take right off, God says in Exodus 20:13 that thou shalt not kill. Okay, as Pastor Reggie has said before, that you have to rightly divide the word. If God says, thou shalt not kill, does that mean there's never right to take a life? The Bible provides several examples that show deadly force is not only right in some situations, but necessary in order to remove the effects of certain sins from the land. After the flood, God established capital punishment by man for murder. Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. I'm going to turn to Exodus 21:12. He that smiteth a man so that he die, he shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And then God establishes authority through government. Romans 13, 13, 1. Verses 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are to be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So that's pretty interesting right there. You know, that says that you know, God's, you know, recognizes the authorities and, in, you know, police and military and things that are established to keep the law. And also it talked about in the Bible there in Deuteronomy about that the Lord had cities of refuge and things where if, you know, certain crimes were committed and he went through several, that if you've done this, you could flee to this city, you know, and not be killed and that sort of thing. So that's something else that you could study if you wanted to. God uses people armed with weapons to do his will. Samson kills 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone in Judges 16:14-16. David kills Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And I thought that was interesting, so we'll turn there. 1 Samuel 17, 44-51. 1 Samuel 17, 44-51. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thee head from thee, and I will give thee carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, you know, it's, you know, saying right there that just because you possess, you know, a better, you know, more powerful or more weapons doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be victorious. You have to have the Lord on your side. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone struck into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood up upon the Philistine, and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. And also, God's people conquered the Promised Land. It talks about that in Leviticus 26:6-9. And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. So, you know, God didn't do it for them. He gave them swords and, you know, gave them the power and the ability to make it all happen. Okay. What purpose does the Bible give the right to use weapons? Okay, there's going to be a few here. I've got seven. Okay, number one, to promote peace. Back whenever Israel was you know trying to take over the Promised Land, you know they were thought to be weak by their enemies, and they took their farm implements in view of the Philistines to show them that they were armed, and that they didn't want trouble. So you know being armed in that instance helped the Israeli people stay out of conflict at that moment. God also armed the people to ensure the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in Nehemiah. Secondly, weapons were used in the Bible to defend our families. And then for this one, we'll turn to Genesis 14:14-20. And when Abraham heard that his brother, this is going to tie in good with Sunday, Reggie. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 308, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hoab, which is on the left hand of the Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, his goods, and women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chilador, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shelvia, which is the king's dale, and Mesalek, king of Salem, brought forth red wine, and was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So, you know, right there, Lot took charge, Abram took charge of his household, armed his people. He already had arms, didn't have to go out and buy them. He used his own knowledge to teach them how to use them as well. And was able to keep his family in one piece. Number three, to defend ourselves. This I thought was really good. Luke 22:35-36. I was just amazed at all the scripture that pertained to this in the Bible. Luke 22:35-36. Okay. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then he said unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So that was interesting. Jesus sent them out, and he was there to protect them. Now he was soon to leave. And he instructed them to arm themselves with a weapon. And it wasn't, to defend Jesus. He wasn't wanting them to go into action. Jesus had to die, and they did not. And he was wanting them to arm themselves to have a presence of a weapon to deter people from messing with them, not to defend Jesus. I had never, realized that. Another example is Exodus 22:2. All right, and this is, once again to defend ourselves here. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Right there. Defend the defenseless. 2 Samuel 1:17-18. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he bade them, teach the children of Judah that the use of the bow, behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. So right there, you know, he was trying to get them to understand how to use weapons to beat back the Philistines. Okay, to defend our possessions. A strong man arms himself to defend his castle. And this was also interesting. To defend our possessions. You know, some people say, you know, let the professionals handle the weapons and stuff. You know, depend upon your police forces and things to respond whenever there's somebody breaking in. You know, Jesus says, he who takes up the sword will die by the sword. But in Matthew 26:47 is where we're going with that. Okay, 26:47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. You know, this is the incidents here where, you know, Peter draws a sword and whacks off the ear of the person that was with Judas. It was not, you know, Jesus' intent, you know, like I was saying earlier, for them to defend him. And Jesus, you know, wanted them to, you know, bear arms, like I said earlier, to avoid, you know, being killed in case others, you know, had came against them and not against Jesus. And he told Peter to take his sword and put it back in its place, you know, in its sheath. And, you know, he was doing that to protect Peter from being, you know, being hurt. So, you know, once again, he takes up the sword, die by the sword. He was saying, you know, Peter, you're choosing a path here that's going to cost you. So, you know, it's not necessary. Okay, and also to defend your heritage. Whenever they was crossing the Jordan River, they always sent the soldiers with weapons ahead of it. And Leviticus 17:13-14. Okay, and whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel and of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast of the fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, that the blood of it is the life thereof. Thereof I say unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So, you know, God's talking about that you're allowed to use weapons to take critters. All right. Proverbs 12:27. We're just in season. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So you need to eat what you kill. Okay, so you know, where is all this going here? It says in Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Man does not have the final say simply because he bears a weapon. God is in control of all situations. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And just two more here left. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The last one. Ephesians 6:12-17. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.